about 20 years. Maybe just seeing me up here with a laptop for the city survey. Father, I ask you, I thank you for your help. I ask you for your help again. I ask you to help all of us. And my abuse of me doesn't allow that. Your life would flow through me in whatever way you see fit today. Thank you for the grace that you have given us all to stand in, and that we can stand because of that grace, and that you've made us righteous. We have everything we need, and I thank you that we can trust you, Lord. I ask you to sharpen us and refine us and help us to become what you desire as individual persons and as a group of people that you brought together. I invite you to do your work, and I ask it for your blessings and the ability to see more and more the way you see, to be able to see what you see that we can't see in the ways that we need to, that it wouldn't be limited by human sight, but that you open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to what you have for us. In Yeshua's name, we approve. So, anybody here believe that Yeshua walked on water?
Yeah.
Show of hands. Once in a while, I find that I need to put both hands up in order to signify that I believe. Because I think, well, one hand. What about the other side? So, you believe you walked on water. Anybody believe that under some circumstance, according to God's will, somebody could walk on water even now? Anybody believe that? So, show of hands. Not a cessationist in the room. You did put yours up, right? Oh, you didn't? Oh, I didn't want to single you out. I just thought that maybe I saw it go up and down. Anyway, never mind. So, it's interesting. Does anyone believe that anyone else ever walked on water besides Yeshua? How many that you can name? What?
One.
One? Amonkhapa?
Is this frozen water or?
Yeah. I mean water in its liquid state, you know, with waves.
It's not water.
I know. I'm just speaking in the vernacular. And, what? Yeah.
Well, there are those in
biblical times are considered a very private event between men and God. So not all of them are documented.
Okay, so I walked on water, and I'm living, and I'll tell you the story anytime you want to hear it. I was about 10.
Yeah. Some naysayers. You know, there's more than one kind of cessationist. There's the kind that aren't cessationists, but really don't believe anything still happens. But say they do. And then there's the ones that are convicted or have decided that the reason none of those things happen now, according to them, is that God decided not to do them anymore. And see, that can be a comfort if you have been tempted to blame yourself for not seeing those things happen in your personal ministry, whether you're just an individual that goes around, you know, hoping to pray for people and heal people. I know people that have decided God doesn't do anything supernatural because, well, they would say some things are supernatural, like if someone comes to faith, they would call that supernatural. But none of the other stuff. Because in their experience personally, those things didn't happen. So it is possible on one hand to comfort yourself about what you think is a lack of power in you by deciding God doesn't do it anymore, and therefore it's not a lack of power in you, it's just that God doesn't do it. So if he doesn't want to and you don't perform it, see, then you don't have to struggle over whether or not you can see more power than you do. Yeah?
To me, that seems akin to thinking you can't be struck by lightning. You know, no one can be struck by lightning because it's never happened to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a forest ranger that's been struck at least 7 times himself, and it never strikes twice in the same place, but that's not true. I was thinking, a little while ago, I thought, let's see, when the power is up, does that mean there is no power? I mean, like, the power can be out in Lamontville and everywhere else it can be on. I know this. So, if I'm not experiencing lights going on when I flip the switch in Lamontville, would I be justified in believing that there is no power anymore?
If there was just a giant solar flare.
Okay.
There'd still be power, but it's a greater power.
So, anybody ever really feel like you have no power? Has anyone ever felt like that? Mm-hmm. Some of you have no feelings. So I'm wondering you can take it metaphorically or any way you like, okay? I'm wondering, have you ever wait a minute. In Matthew 14 it says here, you can go back and look at what happened before if you want. Starting at the 22nd verse, and immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And after he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already many stadia. What's a stadia? It must be many stadia. Okay, well, a stadia was about 600 feet. Okay, many stadia away. And, many stadia away from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. does that mean if the wind was contrary?
Wind against them.
Not blowing the direction you want to go?
Yeah.
God ever allowed the wind to blow the wrong direction for you? Mm-hmm. Always wrong. I shouldn't insert the word wrong.
Okay.
Has God ever allowed the wind to blow against the way you wanted to go?
Yeah.
Why would he do that? Why? And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out for fear, which is a sin. But immediately Yeshua spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I! Do not be afraid." You notice he didn't use his name? "Take courage, it is I!" I never thought of that before. All these many times I've looked at this, I never thought of that. He didn't say, "It is Yeshua, the one you know, the one that you were just with earlier today, just to make sure you know who I is," you know. I mean, they already thought it was a ghost, so, "It is I. Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Okay, so, by the way, if Yeshua says that, which you should what? Don't do anything? Oh, wait, when he says, let me read it again. He says, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." What should you do?
Take courage and not be afraid.
There, I mean, I see the distinction. There are things we do inside that we can do sitting still. Nobody can tell we're doing anything. And he was talking about two of those. He didn't say row harder. He didn't say take that canvas and pull it over the boat and try to keep the water from getting in. And say any of that stuff. He just said, "Take courage. It is I, do not be afraid." So how do you take courage and how do you not be afraid? What? That wasn't nothing.
I heard him.
He was being facetious.
I like facetiousness. I'm often facetious. I'm actually trying to be less facetious oftentimes. By the way, I can be sitting in a chair reading scripture early in the morning, feeling just fine. Not feeling like I have a care in the world sometimes. And all of a sudden, I can just begin to fill up with anxiety that seems to come from no place. Just for your information. And then I can get more and more and more until I find it virtually impossible, virtual, whatever that means, to sit still, to stay there where I am. I just have to start moving around. Can't keep doing what I'm doing. Now, if the reason I get up has nothing to do with anything but the fact that I have anxiety, that might be the wrong reason to get up, and I might be doing the wrong thing. I'm just telling you that this happened to me. I won't make any excuses because I don't think I need to make any excuses for being the kind of person that struggles with that, because that's just the way I am. Now, could it be just completely different? Maybe. But maybe God doesn't want to just take all of that away and make it possible for me to just do what I want to do without ever struggling with anything. Maybe that's not how he wants to deal with the problem. Maybe it's Maybe it's not what he wants me to ask him for. Maybe he just wants me to learn to deal with whatever it is about me that's like that. I'm not saying, well, I'm just that way, so I should give in whatever happens because of the way I am, just the way it is, because God wants it to be that way. That's not what I'm saying. But we are all certain ways, you know. I've known most of you quite a while, and I've noticed that all of you are a way. And so am I. You're this way, and you're that way, and I'm this way, and I'm that way, right? I mean, y'all have stuff, right? There's only one of you that struggles with nothing ever. I'm not going to tell you which one it is. But you can raise your hand. I don't want to single you out, but if you want to show that it's you, please raise your hand. Well, I'm very modest. It's good to be humble. Okay, so... Do you think these guys in the boat had anxiety at this time? Are they worried? So he says, take courage, do not be afraid. Maybe that's because they didn't have courage and they were afraid, right? Maybe he's addressing the things that are at hand. It's not just like, you know, just what you normally just say when you're walking on the water coming toward a boat. It's like maybe it's not just an idiomatic expression that's used when you're approaching a boat walking on the water. Maybe it's actually they were afraid, they didn't have courage, so he says, don't be the way you are and have what you don't have. Does God tell us that, stuff like that? Don't be the way you're being and have what you do not have. Isn't that annoying?
No.
Who said that? A man of faith in the crowd. Is this a crowd? I've noticed sometimes this is a huge multitude, and other times it seems small. And I marvel that those two things.
Just be glad it's not a mob.
And I think it's... If the Lord wants me to die by a mob, so be it. If he wants to protect me from the mob, so be it. In any case, to live is Messiah, and to die is gain. So, I'm going to take courage and not be afraid. okay, so, what did I just say right when... Oh, yes. And I meant right before that.
Don't pay the way.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that annoying?
Oh, yeah, isn't that annoying?
I said that, yeah, but the Lord says, don't be the way that way that you're being, and have this thing that you do not have. Why does he say that?
He's the only one who can give you what you don't.
In this particular instance or in general?
It's what we need.
Well, in general. Wait, in the instance you're living right now or in
the
past?
No, in the instance where Yeshua says...
Well, I would think it's similar all the time, right? If you're afraid and you don't have courage, you probably shouldn't be afraid and you probably should have courage, right? So, in basic principle and experience, isn't it about the same, isn't it?
But you can't have courage.
You need fear to have courage.
Right? They go hand in hand.
Are they not inversely proportional?
Yes, they are inversely proportional.
What? Well, do you mean fear of God?
Not always, either.
Do you mean you need to be afraid in order to have
you
courage?
You can have courage and be totally afraid.
Courage.
But
you know,
there's
without
no courage
fear,
if you're not aware
no
of danger.
Unless you knew what fear was.
Well, okay, well, if you're saying you need to be human and have experience what it's like to be a human in order to exercise. franchise through, okay, I agree with that. Because a person that, you wouldn't need to take courage if you had no capacity for fear, I suppose, right? Because the thought that anything could go wrong or you could die doing what you're supposed to do at the moment probably wouldn't ever occur to you if the ability to imagine things going wrong didn't exist in you. There are people I've seen that act like that. They don't, yeah. You may.
According to Aristotle, courage is the medium between being rash and cowardly.
It's the medium between being rash and being cowardly?
I prefer David's view, which would be, he didn't seem to have much fear when he exercised his courage.
But he wasn't rash.
David.
But he wasn't rash.
The corollary is discretion is the better part of valor, right? There's a difference between exercising courage and just acting like an idiot.
Yes.
I mean, there are people that just rush out and do something without thinking, and I don't think it's courage. Sometimes that's just like it's foolishness, right? But
fools
rush in where angels through tread. And the scriptures have an instance of that where, it says the archangel, it was Michael, did not dare, I don't know if dare is the word used there, but to actually dispute with Satan about the body of Moses, but said, the Lord rebuked you. So, angels exercise discretion in how they speak to a dead power. And that passage encourages us to exercise the same kind of reasoning when it comes to things, not be presumptuous. But courage isn't presumptuousness. Just assuming that you're going to win and rushing into something isn't necessarily courage. But at any rate, so, he's told them to take courage and not to be afraid. And, is that too hard of a command?
Not for them.
To give, you mean?
Right, it's easy to give.
I mean, it's easy to give any command, I don't know.
No, I mean he has the capacity to bring it about, so it's not hard for him to.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about.
Is it too hard to command?
Anyway, okay, so we all agree it was not difficult for you to do it to issue the command. What about actually obeying the command?
Well, it's only possible if it comes from you.
Oh, it's possible other ways too. Like if the general says, stop running away, have courage, and points his revolver at you, you might turn around.
Consumed by a few of you seen that movie, but there are plenty of other instances similar. I really could feel for somebody that's scared to death. Yeah.
But you also said you trusted the instructions that were given to you.
Yes. Well,
that was about a different person. But the other thing was I forgot I had a harness. The entire time I forgot I had a harness.
Well, that could be very distressing. And I personally, I don't exactly have a fear of heights, per se.
It's the falling that bothers me.
Yeah. Well, see, I do think it's not necessarily the same. I am quite afraid of falling, but I can deal with a great deal of height as long as I have confidence that I cannot fall. But without anything to give me that confidence, I'm probably not going to be in that place. Because, well, I don't want to die, and I don't want to be busted up.
I mean, I sort of didn't trust the rope, I guess, other stuff.
I am able to trust a rope.
My supreme confidence in that Sir Isaac Newton allows me to fly.
But I will say this, before I trust the rope, I do the math. I find out the exact qualities of that rope. Because that wasn't a rope, and it wasn't a stick, and I wish it had been neither of those suspended by it. But I am in the ranks of men who have exposed their wives to danger, to their shame. So. Anyway, it's taken a long time to get to this next thing.
Point two.
I'm running out of it. So, I mean, you all know this passage, right? But none of you have any idea what I'm going to ask you, do you? See, normally I say, I know, you know what's coming, you know what I'm going to say. And most of the time you don't. But does anybody have any idea what you think I'm going to ask you?
What's the passage again?
What?
Which passage? Would you have gotten out of
in this passage of Matthew, Yeshua walks on the water. He told his disciples to take courage and not to be afraid. So, and Shimon Kepha answered him and said, what did he say? He's not absolutely convinced. Yeah, this part actually kills me when I think about it. Here's what I want to ask you, though. First of all, have you ever been afraid? Okay. Have you ever asked Yeshua to bid you to come to him on the water?
Yeah.
Have you ever said, if it's you, or maybe you already knew, said, please request that I come to you across this terrifying water? Have you ever done that? Should we do that? Is it possible that in some situations that we're in that are really fearful, maybe some of them have been around for a really long time, maybe we've struggled. Maybe we've even changed our theology so that our experience starts to match with what we believe to be truly biblical. So deal with whatever that experience is. People do it all the time. There's a town in Idaho where there's three preachers, one the father and two are sons. They have three distinctly different theologies, and one of the sons' theology is open theology now, where he believes God doesn't know everything that's going to happen and can't actually control things. That allows him to forgive God for the death of another brother in a motorcycle accident. The other brother thinks that's completely cockamamie and thinks, I think, that he's involved in a heresy, and the father thinks this is really interesting just how different they are. But people do change their theology because of experiences they can't deal with. But it's never because God can't deal with the experience that people change their theology. People change what they expect, their expectancy in God, based on using their experience as evidence instead of what God says. It's very easy to do it. We can do it without knowing we did it. But, so, how often, when you come up against something that you know you can't, you know you can't handle it, you know you can't do it, you actually ask the Lord, please bid me to come to you through this thing.
Not often.
You need to change. So this is exactly what Shimon does. He says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Now, is he saying that if whoever you are, you issue that command, then I will know it's you? Because he says, and he said, come. He didn't say, yes, it is really me, Yeshua, come. He just says, come. I mean, have you ever played a joke on somebody? Letting them think something that wasn't exactly true, because the joke depended on it, the prank depended on them thinking that something was the case that wasn't the case. Have you ever done that? No, none of you would ever be somebody. I've done it once or twice. So he says, come. And Peter gets out of the boat and walks on the water and came toward Yeshua. So, is there anything right now that's basically it's troubled water? To be completely inside of you, to be outside of you, to be outside of you and affecting your insides. Is there anything? We're really, we should just ask the Lord to say, well, come to me. And then if he says that, get up and go to him. You know what? Possible. We can sing. And you know what? If you sing, they'll reach out and pull you up. And, I don't know, you might not like the way it sounds when he says, hey, you don't have much faith, but why are you doubting? But the fact that you're able to walk at all into that thing, and then that he saves you if you sink, and by the way, I'm not saying you're going to sink, but when did he sink?
When he looked at the water.
Does how you feel and what you experience in the situation you're in change based on where you're looking ever? He was actually walking on water, so he looked away from you to it and started thinking. I mean, I'm sure it would have happened to me that way if I would have gotten out of the boat. But it is kind of funny. He's actually doing it. But then he starts getting afraid again, and he looks at the water and starts to sink. I mean, so anyway, in that situation, well, I don't know, I guess maybe they didn't have anywhere to go. I mean, they thought they were going to sink, right? They were in fear for their life. But Peter didn't have to say, if it's you, busy to come to you on the water. He never had to do that. I mean, if he hadn't, I assume he would have continued on, and he would have gotten in the boat, and then everything would have been all right. But he did ask. I guess he was kind of like that. He was the kind that would say, you know, no way, I'm going to be a tough guy. I'm going to be really strong and courageous. I'm going to go right to the death with you. Tough wouldn't be. And then when the moment came, he sank. But that was based on his own presumptuousness. But when he walked on the water, it was actually based on, it was faith. Just, it was a little bit, I guess. It ran out after he got out there. So in this week's Torah portion, it says, now it came about when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines. In other words, God didn't lead them to the place where he was going to take them. Even though he was near. How near was it? It was close. It was close enough that only the youngest kids probably would have started saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Well, they would have. I mean, 11 days is plenty long to do that. But even though it was near, for God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war, when they return to Egypt. Do you think that day in the boat, Yeshua, however you want to look at it, in God's providence, do you think God arranged this storm? Do you think he wanted to put them out there without Yeshua in the boat and have a horrible storm come up so that they could get really afraid? I do.
Yeah.
I do.
And what did
Yeah, night even worse. I'll tell you a little secret. I don't want to die in the water. I really don't. I've been held under the water by somebody much bigger than me at the point I thought I was going to die. I still remember it very well. Here is the daylight side of me, the notion that I could be under the water and not get to the surface. I really don't like it. I'd hate the idea even if that had never happened to me. But having been in a situation where I could actually really think, I guess it's over. I was terrified. I was pretty young. About 10. I haven't thought of that in a long time. Anyway, does anybody live a life of faith in Yeshua where God doesn't lead them into situations where there's no place to go or nothing that they can do to take care of it? Are there people that don't live such a life? egress, you can get out. And you can look around and know, oh, okay, if God doesn't come through, I got a parachute, I got an injection seat, I got a gun, I've got a Jeep, I've got dynamite, and I've got all the other stuff that I feel like I normally need to have with me. I know that I can handle it all by myself. I mean, those are some of the things I'd like to have. If you're listening, you know, I love dynamite. I'd like to play with it. Wouldn't you like to?
I love it.
Yeah. Find a way. Anyway, so he brings them out there, and he intentionally sticks them in a place they cannot get out of. And then he hardens Pharaoh's heart, and then they come after him with all these chariots. And of course, the entire multitude says, Lord, we are not afraid of Pharaoh or his chariots. Just bid us to walk across the Red Sea on the water, and we'll do it. No. They got scared, right? So, I ate up a lot of time on all those things we talked about. Now I don't know if I'm going to get... Maybe I've already gotten to where I wanted to go. Oh. You want to hear something really funny?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've been looking down at my notebook wondering why I can't find the notes that I know I have, and they're on my laptop. And I'm thinking to myself, this is worse than usual. I mean, these aren't the things that I wrote down. It's like, I mean, I'm used to not being able to see what I wrote down and knowing that it's there, and then I'm looking at 10 things and it's the 11th one, and then I just keep looking at the 10 and never see the 11th one because that's the one I'm trying to find. But this, God has done a new thing. He once bid me, Lundgren, don't take yourself so seriously. Come to me across the water. I said, they gave me 20 years. You know what he did? Give me 20 years. I went through a lot of stuff. During that 20 years, but he gave me 20 years. And then he said it again. So, I believe God has everything that we need. And I'm pretty sure you all believe God has everything we need in the ending. I'm not really sure how much we believe that He'll actually give it to us. You can sit outside looking at God's mansion, so to speak. Think of all the stuff that He has. Imagine that you would like to have it. And you could look at other people and think that He's given it to them and wonder why He hasn't treated you the way you would think He has treated them. But of course, you have no idea how He's treated them. You have no idea. Sometimes it takes a long time to learn that. But I think a lot of times people act like, you know, you imagine holding a fire extinguisher in your hand, and the fire starts. You stand there and watch it get bigger and bigger and burn, and bemoan the fact that God's given you nothing with which to fight the fire. You ever do that? I think we do that. I think sometimes we either bemoan not having something, or perhaps in some way ask for it. You've already got it. And whatever it is that God wants us to cross, whether it's the Red Sea, or whether it's a walk on the water, or whether it's to come to Jordan after you've lost the guy that you admired so much, and go down with your tallit, it wasn't actually a tallit, and touch the water and have it split open so that you can walk across, or whether it's just opening your mouth and saying, well, I don't know about you, but I believe in Yeshua, the Son of God, that He sent to make sacrifice for the sins of the world. And He washed me, washed me in His blood, and He made me clean, and He gave me a new life. And you know what? He can do that for you. That can be the most terrifying moment in your life. Sometimes, to say that instead of, I don't know. What do you think? I met a guy once, I didn't know him very well. He led all the soldiers that were on the flight with him. They're all afraid. He's the same age. Scared. He led them all in prayer. And I'm sure he had to come across something to Yeshua in order to do that. And I know that it's possible to give up to do something like that. I feel like it's going to be empty air coming out. Well, actually, the devil tells you that. And then you can decide whether or not to believe him. And he can tell you all kinds of things that you can't. And God won't come through. And you're not holy enough. And you don't have enough faith. But apparently, even if you don't have much faith, you can walk on water and only sink when you look away from Yeshua. Even if you don't have much faith, I'm very impressed that he walked on the water, frankly. I guess he should have had more faith. But I bet he always remembered that he actually walked on the water. That experience of doing what Yeshua said after he requested that he ask him to do must have had a real effect on him. And you know, it's not reading about what other people did that increases your faith. I mean, you can believe what you read, and you can have faith in the truth, but with no experience space just sits there. It doesn't get bigger, it doesn't grow, it doesn't, you know. Being able to tell people what someone else did doesn't change your experience. But believing God and doing something will change your experience. Including the times when you believe Him, you do something, it seems to be a disaster, and He brings you through it. And sometimes later you learn just how valuable that was. And I'll just say this. I remember a moment witnessing, two times witnessing to a guy in my high school class. One time was in the library, and another time, I think it was after we graduated, I'm not sure. He had no interest. I wasn't trying to impress him, but he certainly didn't seem impressed with me. He didn't seem to have any interest. He didn't listen. If I just went by what it looked like, I would have thought, well, I had no effect. Well, you know, actually I think it's fine if I have no effect. Although God does use us, but it's not just us, right? Well, anyway, I don't know. There were other people, doubtless, that prayed for him, witnessed to him. But I learned not long ago from another classmate that I inquired of, because I didn't know whatever became of him. And he had died a few years ago. And I mean, this guy nearly drank himself to death. He was in delirium tremens one time. He was very young. I mean, this is a long time ago. He was a young guy. Told me he died saved and at peace. I had no idea what became of him. But I believe that a whole bunch of people probably spoke to him. And I believe that all of them probably had the chance to imagine that there was no point to it, that it didn't do anything. I'm not saying they all did think that. I'm not saying I thought it was no point. But, you know, sometimes we don't feel like much is happening, right? But we don't know. We don't know what's happening. But what is always happening, we do know something, what's always happening is we're either deciding to believe and act in faith, or we aren't deciding that. We're either stepping out and walking across whatever it is, or we're not. And there's always something to cross. I don't care if you look at what you have to cross and you think it looks tiny and small, and so what difference does it make? No, it's not tiny and small. It might as well be the Red Sea or the Atlantic or Mount Everest or a horrendous tsunami. It doesn't really matter what it looks like to somebody else or even to you. Maybe it's huge. Even if it's a tempest in a teacup and God just wants you to walk from one end of the cup to the other, that could be a great feat of faith, just to get across a teacup. I don't think we should compare one thing to another. We're in the situations we're in, we have the struggles we have, and God knows who we are, what we need, and He's got it. And He is coming to us on the water. And we can go to Him. So, I believe we can do it. I believe we should encourage each other day to day. I'm still under, sometimes I just feel like, am I doing that? Am I encouraging people day to day? by coming anywhere close to what that's meant to be? Not always sure. But, you know, I think we should be actively seeking to encourage each other day to day. That could require picking up a phone. Could require actually speaking to someone instead of not speaking to them. It could take 3 minutes that we don't have. We could take something else we don't have. Like, fear not, take courage. Maybe God has what we need. Maybe we just need to take it. And he's like standing out all day long, extending his hands, saying, please, take it. Would you just take it? I was going to say my arms are getting tired, but I don't, his arms don't get tired, so he shouldn't say that. But if he's standing all day long extending his hand to us, maybe we should reach out and take what's in it. So, anyway. Lord, I thank you that we can come to you, that we can walk across whatever it is, and even if we don't know what it is, you can show us. And I just ask you to pour your love and grace and provision and encouragement on everyone here, and strengthen us. Help us to build ourselves up and trust you. And take what you're giving to us. Help us to encourage.